Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Awakenings. That was David Atwell's Ascension. And, of course, we had him on the program last month, actually. Amazing composer, singer, songwriter, and consciously walking the path. That's what we like to talk about here and share here, the ways of consciously walking on the path, keeping awake, aware, connected, and ascending. And I played Ascension because we're going to be talking a bit about that today. If you notice, my voice sounds a little differently. Some of you may think, did Michelle have soy milk? No. I had a flu, and I've got a little bit of a cold now, so that's what you're hearing in my voice. Okay, those of you that may be new to the program, welcome to the program. I'm your host and co-pilot, as I like to say, Michelle Mache. And we are people getting settled in the chat room, the Sacred Space of Empowerment room. It's all good. And I want to say hello also to those listening via Cosmic D. You know who you are. And to Richard Footit, who was actually the first place Awakening aired through. And then to also say hello to all of you listening later in the archives as well as iTunes. So important. I feel we're all of us are all connected, even if you aren't listening live. I get a lot of emails, which I so appreciate, from all of you that do listen to the program in its various forms, and even some podcast stations and outlets that I wasn't aware Awakenings is on. All good though. If you are listening in the chat and you want to listen as a guest, that's great. Otherwise, if you would like to sign in so that you can be heard and interact, the number is 347-539-5122 to call in. And if you'd like to interact in the chat room, all you need to do is scroll to the very bottom of the page and just sign in. So I'm hoping everybody can hear me if I have sound or not, because it's looking like my chat room is up and running, but I'm not up and running with it, so I'm not sure what's going on there. So maybe just open another window and see what is happening. So many technical difficulties lately. I'm telling you, it's getting a little difficult to handle and to actually do readings. It's kind of hearing you great. Okay, good. So I don't know, like my chat room has a funny color too, but if you guys are hearing me and it sounds good, thank you. Thanks for the feedback, because I don't know. Kind of doing it all in a flow here on my own. So not sure what's going on with, but if you can hear me, that sounds good. And if you can't hear me, just always let me know. So anyway, if you would like to interact in the chat room, you do need to sign up through Blog Talk Radio, which just is your name and email address, and then that will get you interacting in the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, or also known as the chat room. Also, I want to ask, rarely we have time, because usually we're diving into conversations, and yes, we are doing readings. I just had a question on that. And the number for readings is 347-539-5122. 5122 and press 1 on the keypad. And then I'll know that you want to be heard, because I know we have some people that are listening only. So if you are in line, I see that we do have callers. If you are not wanting me to pick up, just don't press 1. But if you do want me to pick up because you have a question or a comment, just press 1, and then I will know that you want to be heard. Yeah, so those of you that listen in the archives, if next time in iTunes, if you have a chance, if you would comment what you think on the Awakenings page on iTunes. And that also, if you can like our on the Blog Talk Awakening page, if you can like the program, it just helps bump us up in the search engines and helps other people find Awakenings even more easily. So the more connection, attention, the more feedback that all of you listeners, if you do appreciate the program, if you like what we do here, if you like how we roll, if you like what we're doing, you like what we're sharing, if you like the guests, we do like to hear that and actually need to hear that. That just helps us with some of the other projects that we have for expanding Awakening. So if you would do that by, if you're listening via iTunes, just write your comment. You know, if they're not favorable, email me, call me, email me. We'll talk. and then also, please, by liking the, we have thousands upon thousands of listeners, and I do get quite a few emails. And what really does help is also the public feedback, so other people know, and also by really liking that Awakenings Radio page, which is so easy to do if you're already, especially if you're already logged in. All you have to do is click that like button. So we are going to get to callers. I do want to touch a couple things. I had some questions come in about ascension and also some of the signs and symptoms. Many of you have heard me share that I actually authored a online course, and I'm doing a couple other ones just because I can't be in so many places in one time, and there's so much amazing information that I have from over the years, from my guides, from my training, from my work. I have extensive background in esoteric knowledge, philosophy, applied metaphysics, spiritual healing, shamanic work, working as an energy worker and a light worker, and kind of old school. So we did a lot of training back in the day, and a lot of apprenticing as well. That was more of a requirement. So in many ways, many of us that have been doing this, this is the time that we've been trained for and preparing for. So though it is a very challenging time, it's also very, accelerated and hopeful time as well. And there is just a lot of information that we were given or came in with that the time is now to be gotten it out. I mean, I was talking about the soul 20 plus on years ago and the age of the soul, but it wasn't as relevant then. It was if you were kind of in the know, but in popular, especially even popular, more popular metaphysics or spirituality or new thought, things were all about the mind, the mind, the mind. There wasn't much about true spirituality. And when I mean true or pure, I just mean focusing more on spiritual essence and spiritual law, as opposed to psycho-spiritual. We need both. We need it all. We need it all. All of it's great. All of it's relevant. All of it's important. However, as we ascend, as we move more out of the constructed ego, as we move more out of playing out extremes of the polarity plane, it becomes more and more important to relate and understand spirituality, spiritual principles, spiritual essence, the soul. What is the soul? What is the nature of the soul? Where does the soul come from? What's the difference between the spirit and the soul? What is the personality? A lot of people think the ego personality is something bad. It's simply an outpicturing or a holographic image or a view of the soul, basically, which is, you know, the soul is a, in a way, a vibrationally stepped-down version so that it is more concrete of our spiritual essence or spiritual nature. Because spirit takes different forms. The soul is simply one of them. So in looking even at ourselves as vibrational beings, knowing what is your vibrational frequency, what is your signature vibrational frequency, and how we're all getting back to that, that's why things like sound healing, toning, use of music, conversion tools, like going from the harmonics of 464, 484 to 444 hertz, these types of technologies, as we are also in the age of technology, the age of light, which one part of one form of light is love, is also information. We are to use these technologies to not only remember the truth of who we are and what we come from, but to also more include that, whether you want to say in this dimension or ascending or rising above to another or more expanded dimension, or living through more dimensions than one. It's not so much that this is not occurring. It's just that it's not in the prevalent lifestyle. It's not in our everyday living. And so this is what we're talking about. We're talking about incorporating this or ascending into this, because we've ascended as much into matter. The overfocus of materialism or material matter, as much as we can, we've devolved, which going into that matter to see what matters, to work with shape and form. But just as anything, you know, especially those of you that are healers or work in the, you know, health field, there is this thing called the homeostasis principle, that the body, and also that's the mental body, the emotional body, if functioning well, will go into a certain direction until it is no longer pro-survival, that is no longer life-enhancing. It will go or do as far as it can, and then it will begin to go in what seems to be an opposite direction to balance itself out. Well, because there's been so many creations and a focus on things that are from the more focused on the constructed ego, willing something to happen. I mean, we have even courses that will it happen, make it happen. You can do it no matter what. If you want to do it, you can do it. Some of that's okay in that it has its place. However, unfortunately, the you can make it happen that everybody's talking about and writing about is not just even the ego, as they say in Eastern tradition, as the extension of the soul, which is the personality self. It's the constructed ego. It's not even the true ego, because people don't even know who or what they're about. They don't know. See, if you begin to see your ego personality as an extension of your soul, that which you are naturally drawn to is representing those soul qualities that want to be expressed and lived through on this dimension. If, however, you don't know that, you may think certain things that you're drawn to are wrong or not cool, not hip, not going to get you anywhere. And so you start spinning stories and creating other focuses for yourself. So first, this is why it is said, you know, over the gateway or the archway of the mystery school, Delphi, know thyself. And that can take many, many years. It can take a flash, a moment. But any true path starts with knowing yourself. You have to know not only yourself, but what is the not-self. So it's an interesting time that this is not only going to be required of people that have consciously chosen this type of path to focus on, but those that didn't even want it. I mean, how many calls, and many people that listen to the show regularly, we are getting more and more calls from people saying, I never wanted this, I never had this, you know, I didn't care about this, and all of a sudden this happened. Now all of a sudden I want to know about this. Or I didn't even care about spirituality, I didn't think there was anything more. Now all of a sudden, you know, people tell me that they feel healing energy coming from me, or I'm soothing, or all of a sudden I want to find out everything about spirituality that I can. So everybody's waking up in a different way, and everybody's succession to awakening is happening in a different wave or way, a different form. And just because you didn't start out on a quest or wanting more meaning in your life or what searching for or wanting to connect with that which is more meaningful or that which is more meaningful beyond things doesn't mean it won't happen to you.
So that was another thing, if I could take the class with my own computer. So these are two things that I wanted to, Mike was going to work on that. This is a phone call I put in before I talked to Mike, so I'm not sure who or what or if anyone spoke with us, but that's fine. Basically, it's a process that I started a year ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hope you guys can hear me. Hi, 773-818. You're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Okay.
Yes. Hi, did you have a question or a comment? Okay, I don't know if somebody can. Okay, so we have caller 773-818. You have that you wanted a question. Yes, hi, welcome to the program. Can you hear me? Okay, do you guys hear sound now? Let's see, so I'm trying to get... Okay. All right. Let me know if there is sound. Let's see, or not. Oh, yes, and you rebooted. So there is sound back. And we do, I'll try one more time for this caller, 773-818. Did you have a question or a comment? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on Awakening. Did you have a question or a comment?
Oh, great. Yeah, I didn't hear you before, so.
I'm having some sound.
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you great. For some reason,
okay,
a while ago, I could hear you. I guess you couldn't hear me. And then we lost some of the people in the chat as well, so.
Oh.
We're flowing here, though. What?
I'll just go with it. How's that? My question is, again, it's a relationship question, and it's in regards to a friend of mine that I've got feelings for, and I'm just wondering if this is something that I should pursue, or if I should let it go, or if I should be patient.
Well, I definitely see patient, definitely patient. And I definitely see friendship, and it is a good friendship. Now, there's a concern of you worrying about if you jump into those waters that it could ruin the friendship is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, there's an age difference, a big age difference.
Okay.
I like him a lot, And I'm wondering how, you know, I'm just wondering if he's a true love, if, you know, how long.
I don't feel he's the one. I definitely feel, now, have you gone through some things with him, with other women? Because I feel like you've been like a confidant with him.
We've talked about things, but we really, we've just talked about a few things. In depth.
Not in depth, but you're feeling he's kind of misunderstood, I feel. Give me your first name.
Joellen.
Okay. Well, as soon as I was tuning in when you were asking, I definitely get a friendship. This may go further is what I'm hearing. I shall try to. I feel there, you know, it's very interesting. It's almost like a brother-sister kind of relationship. It really is a strong, there really is a good strong bond there. There really is. But I almost feel like you're at, and maybe it's the age thing, you're at two different places or something. I don't know. There's something that reminds me of a movie the other night I saw, and they said, and they were together, and then they were apart, and then they got together, and then like a year later they were apart, and they had other partners in their life, and they were saying, we can't quite seem to get the timing right. And with the two of you, I feel that it has to do with where you're going in your life and what you're ultimately doing. So it's not so much other people around or in and out. I don't feel it's a, you know, other girls or other guy. It's not a spouse thing. But I do feel that somehow you're on different, at different places in your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's just, I just thought that we were starting to get in sync.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like I said, you guys are going to try it. It is going to come together for a while in that way. But I mean, big picture, you're at different places. And sometimes that doesn't have to do with age necessarily. Sometimes
I guess my question is, should I even bother if I don't know. I don't know if I can stand to get my heart.
I don't know that you can. Yeah. Let's see, what's the best perspective you want to take with a friend?
Also, I just, you know, I'm at the point where I'd like to start a family.
Right. But I see, that's what, it's interesting, because my thought is, as I'm tuning in, he's what you would want if you were doing that. There's characteristics about him. So I don't know if he's not yet ready for that, or he's had that already. I'm not sure if he wants it again. I don't know. But the differences that I see are big picture. It's not it's an overall place of where you're going. It's not small picture to where you are now in the moment, and I mean moment like today, tomorrow, or even the next 6 months. It's bigger than that. It's a bigger crossroads. But it does show something drawing you closer. So it seems like there's more of these conversations that are going to come up. If you're starting to talk about this kind of stuff with him, there definitely is going to be more conversation. Let's see, what's the best perspective?
I think my biggest frustration is I've had so many people tell me that he's the one, and then I just felt like, as soon as I got from vacation, you know, he froze up again.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'd watch that with I'd watch that people are the one. You can let me know. I'll always be easy to find, whether it's on air or by email.
Is there an option for me out there? I'm just kind of feeling a little deflated.
Okay. Well, what is your what do you want to know?
I want to have a husband and a family.
See, I can tell you what everybody else has been telling you, because if that makes you feel inflated, but something If you're still asking the question if he's the one, somewhere
I'm
down
asking,
the road.
Is there someone that, I mean, am I going to be married to
him? Yeah, there is,
family?
but I want to share something with you, because I'm not only a channeler and a psychic, but I've been psychic since birth. So I've been, you know, doing this for not, you know, really, really long time. And I have amazing clients that have come back years later, months later, days later, and said, oh, my God, you were right, and so-and-so told me this. Sometimes people find it hard to say. They either pick up on what you really want to have happen, and they tell you that. I'm not saying I'm 100%, but I'm about a 97, 98 accuracy rate. So if what I have found over the years, even with myself, if I am asking a question that a psychic has already, and I have some that I work with that have been my mentors and teachers, if I'm still asking the question, then somewhere in my gut I know that the answer is not what those other psychics had told me. So, because most psychics are going to tell you what you want to hear, I hate to say that, or they're going to pick up on where you're at or where you're going. They're going to pick up the emotionalism, and they're going to give you a reading on that. I'm seeing past that. I'm seeing, yeah, you guys are going to try it. You're going to work through it. You're going to get closer, start dating. But is it ultimately going to work out? No. But he could be the one for right now, you see. So somebody could be picking up on that, because you both are kind of drawn towards that, and you're starting to have kind of these conversations getting closer and closer to what about us or how could it work. So it's a tricky thing reading somebody psychically, because their question could be yes for now or yes for a year or, you know, but is it, you know, is it the old, what you were asking when you first called in, is he the one or the ultimate one that you're going to end up with? And that I'm not seeing, and I feel you know that already, otherwise you wouldn't have called in if you'd already had your, if you already in your gut felt confirmed by what these other psychics told you. And see, sometimes people come back in our lives to complete something or finish something up, but that sometimes means that we have to start something with them, right? You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just kind of, I don't know.
You don't want to.
No, I just kind of feel like if this isn't going to work, then why should I even bother before I even start, you know? And I'd rather just create space for the right one to come in instead of me clouding up my emotions and my feelings and going through that whole process all over again.
Well, here's the thing. See, that's our, and I talked about the top of the program this, about the ego. That's our ego talking, because the truth is, if you look over your whole life, or anybody does, you're going to see that there's things that didn't work out but led us from one thing to the next. So right now the ego is going, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to open it up and care for somebody in this way if ultimately we're going to part ways. And I see it, you more the one ultimately parting ways. Because you already know there's something, and I feel it has to do with the children. Does he have children already?
No, but I'm, you know, 43 years old, and he's 31.
Oh, there it is. Okay. So, see, you already know. See, and that's the thing. I feel, and there we are. So there's the big picture. I just don't feel he's ready yet for that. And you may be thinking, you might be in this wonderful relationship with him, but it's going to be gnawing at you, I really want this. By the way, this whole idea that to clear the space, what's going to happen to you or find you is going to happen to you and find you. So by you dating him, you're not going to be clogging it up for, you know, for the next person to come in the line. You know, those are more destiny issues than, you know, when somebody comes in or we draw somebody in or, you know, the next person for our next phase. Because that's how the soul is. The soul works in phases. If you look, you know, if you look at your life, if you go through certain times where certain things are emphasized, certain types of people, a time maybe looking.
Hello? I lost you again. Hello?
Okay, I do not know
what's going on with
this.
I hear you now.
I know. Sorry about that. I don't know what's going on with the sound. But see, and believe me, I've been there, so I understand. We like to, because we're trained this way. When we, as kids, we're trained that we get to do all this choosing, and we do. We have a free will choice within a realm of experience, right, Joelle? And so.
Mm-hmm.
We're taught that, you know, how can I skip steps or not go through certain things because it might, you know, be less, we want less pain, obviously, whether it's emotional pain, financial pain, whatever it is. So I hear you on that. So I know, I understand where you're coming from with that. However, the thing of life is that it is all these varying experiences that lead from one to the next to the next. And on a soul level, the soul only wants these various experiences and actually doesn't judge them. But there we go. There's the big picture that I was picking up psychically then. It is, I do feel ultimately that will get in the way. Let me ask the higher self a better question for you then.
Right?
Yes, you guys are so
okay.
Drawn to each other. So you will... Yeah,
hello.
I do see you with some... Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
I can hear you. Oh, good. Yeah, so I'm just asking... Let's see. Well, a segment I said in the chat. Yeah, it's not the age. It's the stage of where somebody is at, big picture-wise. And I just feel you're at a bit of a different place than he's at. You're already ready. You could meet somebody within 6 months... you know, get married or whatever, live together, whatever, and have children. You're ready right now for that. I don't feel that he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you guys are very drawn to each other, so I don't feel it's going to be as bad as you think on the heart level, on the hurt. I feel the real question for you that you're really wanting to know in your soul is, or, you know, the lower soul, the ego personality aspect is this dream of mine going to happen? Am I going to finally meet somebody, marry, and have a family, have children? And I do feel that you are. But I feel you're about, well, probably a year out with that. And I also feel that there will be a move. So I don't know if you have your own home or something, but I feel that you will actually move with the man, with the gentleman. So they won't be living with where you're living. You'll actually move with him. But there are many the ones. That's the thing. And right now, you two do have such a strong bond. Yeah, and a lovely kind of past connection. There's a good comfort, right, between the two of you, actually. Something that feels, I feel that that's one of the things you're drawn to about him as well, is that there's a lot of comfort, like you've known him forever.
Mm-hmm.
But you will have that. I think you're learning to... Trust what you there's a disconnect. There's a trust what you know on a deeper level, but there's also what you want to experience right now, what you're feeling about this individual. And definitely the patience. It's more of a process. You'll know more probably around May, June, into May into June. And ultimately, I feel like you being the one kind of pulling away. So you'll be okay.
Well, thanks for your advice.
You already knew this, though. You wouldn't be asking the question if you had that you didn't know on some of this on some level. So that'll be that's your next step, is embracing what you already know, no matter what someone says, whether it's me or someone else, and then trusting that you have this dream, this idea, and that it is going to happen. That you know it so much in your heart. The timing might be off. You might wanted to have it happen sooner, but you will have that family. All right, Joelle.
All right. Well, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Hi, 386. Is this you? 334?
Yes. Hello.
Oh, hello. What's your first name?
Sheena.
What is it?
Sheena.
Sheena, okay. Did you have a question or a comment?
I had a question.
Okay.
Okay, my question is, my friend, a male friend, kind of stepped away from me, and because I guess he's going through a lot, and I am so worried that he's not going to come back. we're having fun together, and I pretty much, wanted to let him know how I felt about him. I really liked him, and I think he took that the wrong way, and it kind of scared him off, so he stepped away from me for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm confident that he will come back. I just want to know when and if we're going to be able to move forward positively with no fear and doubt. I know he's going through a lot right now.
Well, you already know. I feel when I'm talking to you, I feel like this little, like a little spiral kind of coming in, coming out, moving forward, moving back. So I feel the two of you have that kind of relationship where you're, he might come closer. He's not wanting something as more serious. He's not wanting something very long term. And I do feel you guys can date, and then it can kind of come back to that level, and then kind of go back again.
So you mean the two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back thing?
Well. Sort of.
Like
that, but I also feel that he might sometimes be hanging out with you, then maybe some other friends, and then come back. Or you guys might hang with some friends together. But I feel he also has this different set of friends that you don't know about or don't hang out with. So I feel like he's a little wanderer, kind of like a little traveler. Kind of weaving out with other people, other groups, and then kind of comes back around to you. So that seems to happen for quite a bit. It's like I feel like you won't see him for a while, and then maybe you could even bump into him, and then it starts up again, and then you don't see him for a while. So this seems to be a little bit of your pattern with him, a bit of a rhythm, a bit of a flow with him. Did you know him before as a friend or something? Or has he always been around you? I feel like he's somehow always, he's not far from you is what I'm hearing too.
No, yeah.
If that makes sense.
He's not far from me, and he's always kind of been around. I've known him, but not like that. Like we weren't actually, being, intimate. We weren't being friends or being intimate or anything like that until 6 months ago. And I'm not you know, around the same crowds of people he's around, like you said. So, like.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I mean. So he's, so that's going to continue. But it's not like he's ever not around you. It's just, maybe I don't know if it's the same neighborhood or neighborhoods over, but because you're not around the same people all the time, he has a different group that he hangs with. So yeah, you'll definitely see him again. You'll hang out again, but I do see the same pattern kind of happening, and you'll be wondering. Mm-hmm. I could even see you dating somebody else down the road, and either seeing him or talking to him. Yeah. Yeah.
And you said seeing him and talking to him while I'm dating someone else?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be okay with it?
Well, he's going to have to, isn't he? He's going to have to.
Yeah.
This is down the road, though, way, way down the road. There's just something, I don't know what it is about the two of you. You, again, it's, you're
in. He has feelings for me? I mean, does he care about?
He cares about you, but I don't.
Yeah,
I don't feel he's quite settled right now. He's not quite settled in himself and then wanting, you know, a settled down kind of relationship. I feel that's also part of the reason you guys kind of pulled back or pulled away.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yeah, I just don't want things to be sugar-coated. I want to know if this guy is just, you know, if I was some kind of toy he was playing around with and still wants to just play around with and not even care about, you know, in the back of my mind that's how I feel because of the way he just, you know, stopped texting and call or coming around. So.
Well, he's not set. Here's the deal. Not to look at it perhaps so like something negative towards you. It's just his nature. That is just him kind of hanging out, partying around, going in this group and hanging out, and then another group and you know, meeting new people and, hey, hang out over here. Go. That's him. He just kind of, I don't know, it's like he's like a river. He comes in and then washes up the shore, washes out, goes in and out, goes in and out, goes in and out. And it's almost like you guys come close together and then you can't go further because he's that's his nature. So it's not, if you want something different, you know, that's going to be up to you. That's not him. He's just not ready. He's, you know, he's doing his life the way right now, at least the way that he wants to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But see, you know, right? You know that's just like the caller that called earlier. Really, we get our, and this again is the age of the soul and connecting more spiritually. And the soul, you know, psychic comes from soul, reading the soul, the psyche. Women, men,
right.
People, in to be empowered what you know, that you know. You see, because you've been getting some messages about him, just like the previous caller, to trust that intuition even over what somebody else may be telling you. So you kind of already see that he's not really ready, that he's kind of like this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know this, and I just want to know if it's going to be a point where he ever would want to. You said it's not anything personal, so he doesn't want to settle down with anybody, or is there someone he doesn't want to settle down with me?
No, anybody. Yeah. People, women especially, stop taking it personally. Women are taught that it's something about them. If I could change my hair, if I'm skinnier, if I'm taller, if I'm greener or I'm bluer. Sometimes people just aren't ready. See, guys more know this. I'm not saying all of them. I don't want to do a generalization, but in a generalized way, men are more taught that things happen by cycles or rhythms, you know, time to go to school, work. You know, it's very, most men, it's hard for them to focus on getting their life together and then having a relationship in their life because they're taught to compartmentalize, to separate out and then put together. Women are taught to kind of do it, you know, merge and do it all.
That's,
you know, part of that innate, right?
That's part of that character. That makes sense. Okay, so what you're saying is, from my understanding, is that it's the time for him, this time here is for him to party and have fun. And there, do you see when there will be a time that he would want to settle down, and if it would be with me, or if it would be with someone else by then?
By then I feel you're going to be with somebody else. And there's characteristics you like in this man, but you also like something that's more grounding, more, let's say, home, watch TV or go for a walk and hang out. You know, you want something also more grounded that he doesn't have. So you want a balance between, let's say, something very spontaneous and maybe something routine. My suggestion would be to focus on getting that balance within yourself, so you attract somebody that has a better balance. Because you like that sparkle and that fun, that's great. You know, do it all, but he's got a ways. But just know it's not about you. It's just about where he's at right now. Has nothing to do with you.
No, but it still makes me sad. Because I'm like, it's not that hard to hang out with me and still do your thing and, you know, not make me feel like, you know, not calling me within like 2 weeks and then all of a sudden pop up again, hey, here I am, and expect for me to be.
But that's
okay
it, Sheena, if you
that.
Don't, but the thing is, it's because you know all this and I'm telling you, I know it psychically, you know it because you're living through it and what your intuition is telling you. If that's not what, either accept him where he's at, and have boundaries on how you'll relate to him, what you'll do. Maybe you don't want to, you know, I don't know. Maybe you want to have sex with him, maybe you don't, because where he's at. If maybe you'll get too emotionally tied in. Relate where you can with him if you enjoy his company, but don't go to a point where you're going to be too emotionally divested so that you can, you know, also do what's right for you or healthy for you as well. But trust your inner knowing. So you're kidding. I gotta go. We gotta go on to our guests. But I do thank you for calling in.
Okay,
I think,
well,
and this happened last time with our, you're welcome, our guest. What was interesting, it rounded back into people listening to their own intuition and their own empowerment. So I want to get even more of our guest's take on this. We have with us to hear Dr. Craig Martin. And he is the author in Elemental Love Styles. And I want to give him a warm welcome for coming back on the program. Hello, Dr. Craig.
Hi, Michelle. It's so great to be back here with you.
Oh, you as well. And I cannot believe it. It's just like what happened last time. It was a barrage of relationship questions. Oh, my God. And it seems to be winding around to people listening to their own intuition or their own inner knowing or getting the right signal, so to speak, as
great
to what's really going on. So,
great.
Perfect timing.
I was listening. I'm so ready to jump in with you. The idea that, you know, we want what we want, right? We want a relationship,
mm-hmm.
right? But relationships are not about possessiveness. Relationships are not like, oh, I want that guy for a relationship, and if I'm not getting him, well, maybe it's something about me that I could change that I could get him. That's like trying to manipulate somebody, or the idea that we could hook somebody.
Yeah.
And
could you really dive in on this?
We're diving in.
Good, because we're taught to do that, aren't we? Like, you can make it happen, or we're taught all these, like, machinations.
Oh, I'll tell you right away where it starts. It starts right away with people saying to you, oh, you met someone? Don't screw it up.
Yeah.
I hate when somebody says that. I think to myself, don't screw it up. How are you going to screw it up? By being yourself? How are you going to screw it up? By not hiding something they may not like about you?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean...
So what is important...
Go ahead.
So what is a good suggestion to give to people? Because we have a lot of... The callers are still online. That the relationship is not going in the way that they think it should or they envisioned. Like this one person, he's in their life and then out and then coming back.
I heard that. And that person is not on the same page that she's on. In other words, maybe he's looking for something more casual. Maybe I get this thing when I work with people where I'm like, oh, yeah, enough time has passed. Maybe you're going to forget about how pissed off you were at him. And now that he's like, hey, baby, what's going on? Then you're going to be like, oh, thank God you're back. You know? And then we can jump back into it like it's new. We don't have to talk about the last time we were together. We don't have to talk about anything that may be going on where it might be deepening. Because I haven't seen you in, like, who knows, maybe a month. This is totally new for me. So anybody that's out there that's sort of thinking to themselves, you know, like, oh, I really want to have a relationship with this person, but they seem unavailable, that's the key. They're unavailable. So don't go after somebody that's unavailable. Isn't that a pretty general good rule? I mean, it's hard. It's hard to do because we think, oh, if I were just better, everybody wants to be available. You know, certainly it has to be about me, why this person's not available to me. But that's not true. That's what you were trying to tell her. You were trying to say, sounds to me like he's just not available. If you want to have sex with him, that's cool, but you have to recognize that he may still be unavailable to you in a deeper way, maybe a way that you're really looking for.
So why do people not know this already? Why don't people kind of go, look, this is that where this person's at? Why do we want to say it's something about us, or maybe I can change myself, or maybe I can cook better meals at home? Where does all that come from?
I think it's complicated. The answer to that question is complicated. I think one of the very first things that comes to mind for me for that question is that ultimately we're really more afraid of the relationship that is available than we are about not having the one that's not available. The idea that we can sit around and blame ourselves and say, oh, there's something wrong with me, nobody wants to be with me, or what am I doing wrong? You know, that participating in unavailable relationships is actually painful. It really is, but not as painful for some people as actually being in a relationship, which is going to involve having to, you know, reveal who I am, find out if someone will fully accept me, this kind of thing. So that's like the first answer, is that I think that we enter into these relationships as a way of distancing ourselves from the possibility of intimacy, because we know spiritually, metaphysically, that when we're ready for a relationship, for what that means, co-participating and compromise and working it out and loving someone even when it's not easy to love them and being loved even when we're not feeling that lovable and all those things, that when we're ready for that, it shows up. You can be thin, fat, old, young, it doesn't matter what you look like or how you act. When you're ready to really participate in that process, a relationship will show up for you. There's no ageism. There's no, you know, like body morphologyism, none of that. Because just look around. There's people of all shapes, sizes, colors, ages, sexual preferences that are in relationships. So you can be too.
I love what you said, co-participation. That's the one thing in all these questions today, had not really heard that co-participation. So you're saying really to be in relationship, there needs to be some kind of co-participation. That other person has to be participating.
Correct.
Okay. That makes it pretty cut and dry to me.
I mean, it's that coparticipation idea is linked with availability. Someone who's not available is not available to participate,
mm-hmm.
right? To take part in, to be involved, you know? All those nice expressions that we use, like, oh, are you involved with someone? What does that mean? Involved in what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it means involved in a relationship, which is about relating. Relationships
mm-hmm.
are about relating to one another. You know, these ideas are not about, oh, God, I really wish I had someone who would just take care of me, who was fantastic fun. Yeah, we want to have a good time with this person that we're having a relationship with, but having that relationship is complicated. It's work. It's figuring a lot of things out, how to get along.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people out there who are not available. They'd love to have a relationship with you that's called casual.
Mm-hmm.
They'd love to relate in a casual way, call you every
mm-hmm.
now and then, not make it too serious. Certainly not fight about anything, because casual relationships are about having a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say even what you're saying, even on a friend level, there seems to be a lot of that. So what do people do if you have the casual relationships? Is it to just allow them to be as they are, avoid them?
I think we need casual relationships, and I'm classically a very deep, very intense person. So, and take it from me, like, even I need the person that I can just call up and say, you know, you want to go, you know, down to the beach and, you know, look for shells or something. You know what I mean? Like, and
mm-hmm.
that's it.
Mm-hmm.
We just give a hug, you know, have a soda pop, walk around.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at families playing, and it's not about, you know, what's really going on for me, what's really going on for them, or anything like that. Like a movie friend, somebody you can call up
mm-hmm.
and say, hey, you want to go to the movies? You know, or people have friends like that. Let's say that they're like in bowling leagues or social clubs or things like that, where it's just not about the depth, but that doesn't mean they're not useful or important. It always has to do with the level in which people want to participate. So we have to be able to know what we want from someone, what they want from us. And sometimes that's a shock. Sometimes we're like,
yeah.
Oh, I thought we were going to be participating with each other in a more meaningful, maybe, that could be a judgmental word, but a deeper way, a more connected
mm-hmm.
way. And they're like, no, as a matter of fact, I don't really want to deal with your emotional drama, but I absolutely love just hanging out with you. You make me laugh. I like making you laugh. We can be silly together. And then that's it. I've got to go home, you know. So
mm-hmm.
Sometimes wrapping our head around those boundaries is difficult. But as you were saying earlier in the show, when we are self-exploring, we can sit back then and we can see what it is that we need. If we don't like that, what another person's offering, then we don't have to participate with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're looking for something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well put. I like that, what you're saying about that. Because it really, I agree with you, really, somewhere along the line too, we're not taught that it's good to have a blending of all. Not everybody has to be the one or the heavy, you know, every, reminded me sometimes years ago, somebody saying, well, they were relaying something that went on and they said, well, you know, I need to be able to discuss this with them and tell them how I feel and what I'm going through. And I'm like, no, not necessarily.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But somewhere along the line that every encounter, every relationship has to come from that place.
Right.
And,
well, you know what's interesting is that in Elemental Love Styles, I say that knowing what you need most deeply is really important. Like, if you're the person who's saying, I really need to have this conversation with this person, well, then
mm-hmm.
you should find a person that enjoys having those conversations with you. If you're the person who's saying, I need to have, you know, like financial stability, then you better go and find the person that can give you that. Otherwise, you're going to be cloying to get your deeper needs met, But we can't. We have to really look deeply within ourselves to find out what's the most important. And then, as you're saying, you know, once you know what that is and you find someone to fulfill that, when you find the place that's not exactly perfect, you will have to accept this person. Because no one person can be perfect for you. But I think it's important to know what's the most vital, you know, what's the most vital thing in, for you to feel loved, you know. That should be fulfilled. Otherwise, it becomes a more difficult relationship.
So you're saying, in a sense, it's going to be something, can be something different for, you know, many different people.
Mm-hmm.
And that you kind of have to know ahead of time what it is that you really need. Wow, okay.
Right. And it's very rarely that they're going to like sushi.
right.
You know, I mean, some people are like, oh my God, the person's got to have sushi. So, you know, well, that gives you a lot of people you can date.
Let me give the phone number, 347-539-5122, if you have any questions for Dr. Craig. Let's see, 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad. And I do want to jump in, touch back in on that elemental lifestyle as well. Let's go back to 386-334. You're on Awakenings. Do you have a question for Dr. Craig? A relationship question? Yes, you did.
No, I was just listening to the whole, hello?
Yes, hello, we're here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just listening to it. It was kind of helpful. It just kind of opened my eyes to my whole situation and what I'm going through. It opened my eyes and, you know, made me understand what type of relationship that me and this guy was having. And I think that I just felt like, you know, the type of girl I am and what I'm used to, I don't think I was necessarily ready for that. I just was, you know, getting ahead of myself and listening to other people's advice on, you know, well, you've been seeing this guy for 6 months, maybe you should step it up a little bit. And I, you know, totally ruined it. When, you know, if I would have let things flow naturally, I think that it would have been much better for the both of us. So, you know, just not trying to place the blame on anybody else, but I don't think I was, I know that I'm not ready to move someone in, to get married, to have kids. I'm not ready for that. I just kind of had been in a six-month relationship, you know, felt like it was 6 months, okay, we need to do something to step this thing up, and it totally scared the guy off, so it's like,
Okay, well, let's talk to ask him about that. Dr. Craig, what do you think of that idea of at a certain time juncture and stepping it up, and also the peer pressure from friends?
I think there is. I think there is. I think when I work with men and I hear, you know, and I work and I do work with men, you know, single straight men, I work with them. It's amazing how they also would like to figure their lives out. I'll often say to them, well, what do you expect? You know, you've been with her for 2 years now. She wants to know, are you going, are you even moving it in that direction? Is it deepening? People naturally want to deepen their relationships or have them end. And I would ask this caller, you know, what did you say? Because if you didn't say, well, are we going to move in together or are we going to get married? You know, if you said, where are we and what's going on with our relationship, and just that scared him off, then you didn't make any mistake. You didn't ruin anything. He was already out the door.
Right. What happened was, okay, this person is, he can't hear, he's deaf. And so there, it's very challenging to communicate with him. So on Valentine's Day, I got a teddy bear that said, I love you, but we would always say back and forth to each other, I love you, but it was never, you know, I never meant it, he never meant it. Well, because Valentine's Day, you know, and this is how people, we're together on Valentine's Day, and I decided that I would show him some love on Valentine's Day because it's Valentine's Day. And I don't know, he just, he was very happy. He appreciated it. I'm not going to say he didn't. But after that, like a couple of days after that, I wanted to, you know, see him. And he was like, oh, I got other stuff to do. And, you know, so, gosh, it was just a mess.
Yeah, but talk about
right,
that.
But it doesn't really sound like you asked him for much. And by the way, I really know the deaf community very well. I have a sibling who's deaf, so I understand that challenge. But so that's not out of my realm of being able to talk to you about. But it's that intimacy is, like, you know, the same for people. If there's a misunderstanding, then you need to maybe contact him to try to clarify that misunderstanding. But if he is just afraid of deepening the relationship with you, there isn't very much you can do about that. You could date him for 5 years. And when you send him the teddy bear that says, I love you, 2 days later, he might stop calling you. It's not about time in this instance, mm-hmm. in this relationship. And we could talk a lot about this. We could talk a lot about time. Michelle brought it up before, like, is there a good time? What's a good time? How long should we wait? There are no specific answers to that. But generally, I tell people that within the first 6 months, after 6 months has gone by, if it's going good, two people might like to have a conversation about, so do we really like each other? You know, like, at least that, you know, that it isn't just been fun and games. And you have to clarify with somebody that it's not just casual. You have to. If you're looking for something that's more committed. Remember, commitment is a big process. It's not something that we just go like, oh, yeah, I'll commit to you. There's no problem. You know, I've been going out with you for six months. I'll just commit to you.
Dr. Craig, if it's not a because I know this seems to be a big thing, especially I know with women, at a certain 6 months, a year, you know, there's these 3 months, and then, you know, obviously Valentine's Day. There's all these, like, demarcation lines or milestones. Mm-hmm. If it's not necessarily a linear time, days, months, years, whatever,
right.
How do you know to go to that next level or to say, where are we going, or do you have that conversation?
No, I think it has to be coming from you. It has to be something organic that's coming from you. Somebody that wants to rush a relationship, I always tell them to slow down, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I always tell somebody to slow down because most people really are rushing their relationships. But somebody who's dragging their feet, I tell them they actually need to make a choice. But you see, rushing it and dragging your feet still doesn't put a time limit on it.
Right. Okay.
Because it's about how does it feel in the relationship? Like, you've been with him for 6 months. Are you, like, texting every day, talking on the phone every day? Are you sleeping together in each other's apartment 4 times a week? Because if you want to know what's your relationship about after 6 months under those conditions, that's not rushing it.
Yeah. I mean, so it depends what the couple is doing. Determines perhaps maybe the conversation. Okay.
Yeah, because that's structure. You know, that's the structure of the relationship. If we've been going out with someone for 6 months, well, how many dates have you had with that person? 4. And I want to know if he's going to marry me. I'm like, okay, that's probably not enough time. Oh, well, but he's busy. He travels all over the world. Yeah, mm-hmm. And when he's back in town, he loves to give you a call. You know?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't somebody that's, like, you know, thinking about you all the time and wanting to rush forward and have a relationship with you.
Let's get that website address, everybody. talk to can't believe. DrCraig.com, right?
Yes, DrCraig.com. If you want to find out more about my work and working with me, it's LAHealer.com. I'm in Los Angeles. I work by phone, in person, and via Skype. And always for Michelle, $50 off for anybody new who would like to work with me in person. So that's a coupon that you get from Awakenings Radio.
Oh, thank you.
Wonderful. Just mention Awakenings Radio.
Nice.
It's complicated, right? It's so complicated,
yeah.
Finding out and having that balance. But what happens, and it's so great that you brought it up at the beginning of the show, that looking within is how we really know, is how we really know. I'm working with a woman yesterday. She's early 40s. She's not looking to have a family. She's done that. But she's, you know, she's with a new guy now for about 5 months, and he wants to take her to Europe and take her to New York, and you know, she's very excited about that, but she wants to know, like, where, you know, should I bring it up? Should I ask him? Where's it going? What's it doing? What's it, you know? And I said, maybe you simply want to ask, is our relationship more than sexual to you? You
oh,
know,
that's
maybe
nice.
you just want to say, you know, I'm really enjoying my time with you, and I'm really enjoying, you know, like, we're having a great sexual experience. I know that. And, you know, you keep coming back for more, and I'm enjoying your company. Is it more than that? I'm just wondering if it's more than that so that I can frame this for myself so I can understand for me. That way the other person doesn't get put on the spot. It's like saying, I just want to know where you're coming from. Not, you know, are you going to step up to the plate? What are you going to do for me? That's very threatening.
Yeah, exactly. And this other is like there's no judgment, too.
I think what
were you gonna say?
What I was kind of trying to do. I don't mean to interrupt, but it's a lot of things that you're saying is just, you know, like a light bulb to me. But I did go back to him and I clarified, you know, with I see that he ran away. I was like, okay, you know, I wasn't trying to marry you. And
you said
I wasn't
that.
Trying to hang. I was. I said that to him. I said I wasn't trying to marry you. I was trying to handcuff you. I just gave you the teddy bear because I wanted to show you that I liked you and I liked our time together. And I pretty much wanted to know where his mind was at with me. How, in what way did he like me? Because at first it started off as he was, you know, it was really casual, like you said, coming to my, we went on a date.
Sheena, I'm going to cut, don't mean to do this, cut you off here because you brought up a good point that I want, and I'm going to put you on hold, and I want Dr. Craig to address if he can. The idea with the holiday, especially because Sheena was talking about the teddy bear and on Valentine's Day, that Valentine's Day seems to be a very charged time for couples.
Yeah, it is. I mean, right around Valentine's Day, I ended up doing a lot of work with a lot of people, and had answered a lot of different things about it, about how to make it not so alarming for people. New relationships and 6-month-old relationship that started, you know, basically at the beginning of last fall, made it through the holidays. Okay, what she was saying was that it started off as casual, and I think what she's still really not really hearing there is that when she confronted him on any level, confronted him with her feelings, if he walked away from that, that's not her fault. It's really that simple, and I'm sorry if it's hard for her to wrap her head around it, and there are things that she can do and should do. For instance, contact him like she said she did and say, you know, I wasn't trying to put a handcuff on you. I wasn't trying to marry you. If he's still like, oh, I know that, but it's too deep, period. Like, I'm just scared. I'm not ready. I don't really want this. You know, it reached a point where it was, you know, 6 months and that was it. It's you wanted a little more. I didn't. I don't know how to even communicate that with you. That's what people don't say a lot. That's what you're not going to hear a lot from someone else is some of that kind of more brutal honesty, which is having a relationship with somebody is not like going and getting a car or even getting a dog or something like that. You know, like you're with another human being that's responding to their feelings, and they're entitled to, an adult is entitled to decide whether they want to continue this relationship or not. And sometimes that boggles us, like we think we've done something, but really it's most of the time not about us at all. It's about their capacity, and that feels so sad, I think, to us. It feels so sad when we're like, but we were having fun, but we were getting along, but I know you really care about me. And they're like, yeah, but not enough to actually engage in a relationship where it's going to become more than casual. And I'm going to have to, you know, do more responsible adult things with you.
So the key, what I'm hearing from you is, or one of the keys is just really not for people not to take it personally.
It might
just be that where they're, right? Okay.
We can't. I can remember sitting at dinner once with a first date and saying to this person, well, I just want you to let you know that, like, I won't date anyone that does really drugs, you know? Like, it just doesn't work for me. There's a lot of things we can negotiate, but I just want you to know, like, if you're doing drugs. And he said to me, well, he said, that's really going to be a problem because I don't date anybody who doesn't do drugs. We laughed. You know, he was actually partly serious. So how could he literally take what I was saying to him personally, even if he was a drug user, even if he was just a pot smoker, whatever? I'm not even being judgmental about drugs. I don't have a problem with them. I just don't want them in my house, you know. So it's like I don't want to date somebody that's doing that. Okay, that's just one thing about me. Whatever, it's not judgmental. But he didn't take it personally. He was funny, and I never, in all the time I ever dated anybody, ever have anybody say back to me, oh, well, that is going to be a problem because I only date people who use drugs. So, I mean, he mirrored it for me. He mirrored that beautifully for me, right? I got a chance to sit there and go, wow, oh, my God. You know, don't take it personally.
I think, too, exactly, Dr. Craig, that I hear you speaking to also, is I think sometimes we don't ask enough of what it is we really need or want. We kind of, most people just kind of fester inside and kind of strategize and plan and hope they get it.
Right.
Instead of in the beginning just being honest, you know, like what you said about the, you know, sexual or the drug thing, just to say, look.
And then that was always just my deal breaker, you know. It was always just my deal breaker. That was all. I was just bringing up a thing about taking it personally. He didn't.
Yeah.
He, you know, where you could, if, like, let's say you were someone that smoked pot, you could be like, oh, man, like, what's up with you, you know? You don't date people who smoke pot? Like, how judgmental. And he, this guy didn't take it personally at all. He actually owned his own whatever use. I don't even know. We didn't discuss it. But he owned his use of that in his, in, and never felt he knew it was about me. That wasn't about him.
Yeah.
So that's the beauty of it, I think. And that's where the, you know, several callers, it's a, it, your desire to have it deepen is not even a problem, not even an issue. Because I can tell you, when you're with a man who wants to deepen it, nothing stands in his way. That's the interesting thing about men. Once men decide, all right, I'm going to do it, that's it. You can start dating them. Let me tell you, you can get sick. You can lose your job. You can, I mean, like, practically go completely crazy on them, and they'll stick with you.
Yeah.
It's amazing once a man makes up
their mind. We have a question in the chat. I really think you need to date someone for 6 months before you commit to them exclusively. Don't you think it takes a while to get to know someone?
Yeah.
Any thought on that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. But if that may or may not be 6 months, though. I know people that have been exclusive sooner, and it's worked out wonderfully. I also know people that did everything right, the two-year time, and it all blew to hell. So, I mean, I don't know.
I'll tell you why that is. It has to do with how fast is the real intimacy occurring. How fast are those conversations about what you want and what do I want and who are you and how much time are we really spending together? Because in, like, say, like 3 months, if you really were, like, crazy about someone and you were out and you really had conversations about, well, I'm looking for this and I'm looking for this and, oh, my gosh, we're both looking for the same thing. And you know what? I think you're really what I've been looking for. And, oh, my God, you are too. And you keep dating and you keep saying, like, well, is it going to explode on us? And you're like, no, I don't think it is. You seem sane. You seem like you're adjusted enough. But that happens a lot with people who are a little bit older, who really know who they are and what they want. You know, people in their, not so much people in their 20s, as more people in their 30s and 40s, who can kind of do that. In your 20s, you hear a lot of, you know, like, yeah, well, I didn't want to get married anyway, so we dated for 4 years. But then when I wanted to get married, I found out that he doesn't even want to have kids. We dated for 4 years. I didn't even know he didn't want to have a family. I had to dump him after 4 years. That really sucked. You know, doesn't happen when we know what we want.
Boy, it keeps going back to that. Know what you want.
Emotional honesty, Michelle. That's what it keeps going back to.
That's what
it's being emotionally honest.
Emotional.
Yeah, this is a person that you're going to really want to connect with. You have to be emotionally honest with them. And that doesn't happen on the first date, you know. But it certainly begins happening after 3 months, 6 months. We have to be able to have emotionally honest conversations with people and see how they're going to respond.
Mm-hmm. And I think by what you're saying, too, emotionally honest with yourself as to what, like you said earlier, Craig, what's really important to you. You know, I remember years ago talking to someone, and I thought this was so profound. Well, they'd ask me a question, and I said, well, you don't even have to go that far. It doesn't have to get there. If you're so connected to what you really want, sometimes these things don't even come up because you just don't go there with that person because you can see they're either not there, right? You can't even...
Working with a young lady yesterday, and I said to her, how long is it taking you now to get out of these terrible relationships you keep trying to do over and over and over again? And she said, well, the last one I was better. Like, I got out after just a month. You know, and it's like, good, you know?
Yeah.
That story, you know, that story, the guy's walking down the road and he falls in the hole. And it takes him a while because he's dazed, but he climbs out of the hole and he walks on his way. And the next day he falls in the hole, but he gets out really quick. Third day he walks down the street and he walks around the hole, but on the fourth day he finally takes a different road.
Perfect. That's how it comes about. Okay, we got another caller, 619-206. Did you have a question for Dr. Craig?
Hi, it's Vina.
Hi, hello. Vina. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Good to hear from you.
Thanks.
Yes.
I always love the show. You know, relationship questions are so complicated, but as far as friendships go, I'm finding that water signs and, let's just stick with water signs, because I have a lot of air, and they never, it seems like they never want to talk. Like, so I find that when I have a friendship, something always happens where, like, there's an issue, and then the way we handle it, the way she handles it is usually, like, they don't want to talk and they want to avoid it, and I need to talk about it. So I feel like
you need to talk about your problem, or that you want them to talk about their problem?
Well, if it's an issue between us, like something that happens,
if it's
like
an
a
issue
misunderstanding.
Between you, I understand. Yeah. Right. It's scary for water signs if they feel like you're being blunt and not understanding the emotional impact. I feel like sometimes air signs can sort of just like spell it out be kind of didactic, you know, like, whereas the other person is dying on the inside, or they actually want to reach across and strangle you because they're having an emotional reaction to it. And air's way is to find a solution, work it out. You know, it's mm-hmm. I'm not trying to mock you, but from a water mm-hmm. point of view, some of those tactics are not the right way. And the very littlest bit of emotional understanding may have that person open up. The very littlest bit, like, I think there is something going on with us, and I can tell that you're feeling uncomfortable about talking about it. Maybe you're feeling hurt. I understand. Like, I understand that your emotional will really open up some doors rather than just trying to just present it in a didactic and mental, as a mental process. We didn't just put out on the table what happened and, you know, come up with a solution. It's not that easy for water signs because they're feeling it in their emotional body.
Right. Well, and I understand that because I'm a Libra, so I'm like the easiest, not the easiest, but like maybe the gentlest air sign. And then I'm also born in the full moon, so I have a lot of emotion too. And but my moon is Aries, so it's like I always
right.
want to like
yeah.
you know like
the full
take
moon
as
in Aries
as possible and right. get the emotions taken care of and then be friends again and be happy. But they always
right. But
wait.
That's on your terms. That's what I'm trying to get you to
right.
hear is that you're going to moon in Aries. You're
yeah.
going to present emotional resolution on your terms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, you're fair and you want to work it out. That's very Libra. But if it's going to be on your terms as opposed to on the terms of somebody that's more emotional, you have to figure out how that looks. How does that look? How does working out a problem and having rectification with someone, like, you know, closure and resolution, how does that look for a water sign? It maybe doesn't look like, you know, dump it all out there
right.
with, you know, with moon and Aries and then get back to the happy relationship. That might not be their agenda.
Yeah.
Now,
like
Dr. Craig, is that, I'm going to interject right here, but is that, with what you're talking about, let's say with the moon, because that's obviously ruling people's emotional nature and how they
right.
respond or react emotionally.
Right.
Is it possible to move into the space where you can, I don't want to say control that a little bit, but to say, well, normally I'm like you're saying, normally I'm going to want it with that Aries in a way that I want it or I'm seeing it.
Right.
Is it easy to move into the space where you can see the other person's point of view as well with something like
easy?
That with the moon?
No,
well,
not it's
easy.
Not
well,
easy.
Yeah, maybe not.
It's never easy to try to accommodate somebody else's way of seeing things. It's never easy because we're geared
well,
towards our own ego.
Possible. Let's go to possible. Is it possible?
Yes, it's possible.
We can try.
Yeah, we can try.
It's possible, but that means, like, you know, like, really, compassion is always about putting yourself in someone else's shoes. That's, you know, being compassionate with someone else is always about understanding. It's not even empathizing. It's really to be compassionate towards them is to be able to try to understand what's going on with them, really. And it's a very high virtue that we all possess when we can get out of our way and view another person in their beingness. The more you know yourself, the easier it is to do that with other people because then you can see them for who they are. When we're completely egocentric, you know, it's like very difficult to even know that anybody exists outside of us. You know, it's like the child state, you know, where we're just operating like we're the only thing and the world revolves around us. We're supposed to become adults, you know, and operate and say, oh, I know, you're different. I hurt you, you know. I don't want you to shut down, though. I still want to try to figure it out, even if I'm different from you. So I guess I understand that you're having sadness or anger or something. Maybe you're not ready to talk about it yet. Well, I've had some Pisces friends in the past where I've said, if there's an issue between us, the only thing that I actually need for you to do is tell me that it is about me and that you're figuring it out. so that's helped me a lot with Pisces friends. Like, in other words, we're all go, wow, you seem really distant. Is it about me? Sometimes they can't even say yes,
right.
And I sort of demand that of them. I sort of say, like, I can't be in a relationship with you unless you tell me that there is something going on about me, but that you're working it out. Because if you just disappear, then it feels very, like, I feel abandoned.
Painful.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're entitled to establish you're entitled to establish boundaries with her. You're absolutely entitled to establish boundaries with her for your own needs, but you have to understand hers in that equation.
Yeah, and I just have to wait until they're ready.
Okay.
Patience. Great. Patience.
Thank you.
On both ends.
Time to go.
Thanks for calling in, Bina. No problem. We'll
thank
you.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Wow, Dr. Craig, this was great. Boy, did we
crazy,
lose you.
Right? Awesome. And
crazy.
How fast it goes with
you.
Oh, like,
I know.
Yeah, your show is beautiful.
Have you back?
And
thank you. We
have
a good time here and give some really great insight. If you want more information on Dr. Craig Martin, you can go to lahealer.com. His book is Elemental Love Styles. There's also information on drcraig.com as well, but for personal work, lahealer.com. Thanks so much, Craig, and open door again.
Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely. We've got a lot of good things going on over here, so we'll be happy to share them with you as time goes by.
Oh, sounds good. All right.
Yep. Absolutely.
And thank you, listener participants, for being a part of Awakenings. Thank you, callers, for taking the time to call in and sharing what you're going through, because just know with you're going through something, at least 1,000 other people and perhaps even more going through it right at the same moment. So you not only help yourself, but you help others when you call in or you ask questions. Because sometimes people are a wee bit shy to call in. As always, I love connecting with all of you. Continue to share your insight, shine your light, and until next time, keep awake.